Our reading tonight comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. The coming of the Lord. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. May God bless the reading of his word. So tonight we are thinking about death and the return of Christ. One of the things that Christians and non-Christians have in common is that we don't like to think about death. I noticed that this week. Normally when we are having our time of prayer with the family, I usually share with them something that I would have got from the passage that I would be preaching in the coming Sunday. So this week, the family was finding it very difficult for us to think about the passage of scripture that we just read, because it would make them think about death. So thinking about death usually makes us very uncomfortable. So my family was very uncomfortable with this passage. They didn't tell me, but I just shared with them once and noticed that they didn't like that passage. So death is usually the last thing that we want to talk about. It makes us feel uncomfortable. And yet, life being what it is, we cannot walk away from thinking about death like we are doing tonight, this evening. Facing death due to terminal cancer, Reverend Dr. Donald C. Wilson wrote a series of articles about facing death as he reflected on his own illness. In one such writings, he said, "It is in facing our dying, that improves the quality of our living." He went on to say, "I am finding that there are real rewards in facing death before it takes place." The psalmist found that in the valley of dying, we are in the presence of God. So Dr. Wilson he had hope because he knew that death was not the end. Without knowing such truth, facing cancer would have been far more frightening and final. So death raises all kinds of serious questions. Questions about what awaits us. Questions about those who have passed away. Losing a loved one is probably one of life's most difficult experiences. So unless we die young ourselves, we will eventually experience what it is like to lose someone to death. But our message tonight is that as Christians, we have a steadfast hope. We have a steadfast hope. Even in death, we are hopeful in life, and we are hopeful even in death. And the subject of our Christian hope is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he has proven to be our hope through his life and his death, as well as his resurrection. So our hope in Christ will definitely be accomplished. Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, reminding Timothy that Jesus Christ is our hope. So in this section of Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, Paul teaches about the return of the Lord and what it means to the believers who have already died and those who are still alive. He deals with the pain we suffer when a loved one in the Lord is taken from us through death. He talks about the comfort at such times of loss. So basically, grieving is the theme of this section of his letter, as Paul makes this first presentation on the doctrine of the return of Jesus Christ. The believers at Thessalonica had been expecting the return of Jesus Christ in their life. They expected him to come or to return during their lifetime. That is, before any one of them would have died. So to them, or to the early church, the return of Jesus Christ was a moment-by-moment expectation. They were always thinking and expecting the return of Christ every moment. So they never entertained the thought that death would occur for them before Christ came. They believed that the Lord was coming within days or weeks at most. And Paul even commended them for doing that, for being so very much expectant. We find in chapter 1 of this letter, he commended the Thessalonian church for waiting for God's Son from heaven. But then, within a few months after Paul had left them, some believers started to die. Either dying naturally or due to the murderous persecution that they were facing. So the church started to have questions. What will become of those who had died before the coming of Christ? Did death mean that those who died would miss the second coming of Christ and his reign? Would they miss all the glory that had been promised? So the death of their beloved brethren was causing unrestrained grief. The death of their beloved brethren, the death of other believers, was causing unrestrained grief. And their unrestrained grief was due to ignorance about the fate of the dead believers. So, such ignorance was leading to a grieving behavior, which was just like that of those who were without Christ and therefore without hope. Paul wanted the believers in Thessalonica to live a distinctive life against a background of a pagan world. They were to be, so in the other sections of his letter, he said they were supposed to live distinctively by being sexually pure and also by loving one another. And they were also to show distinction even in the way they would grieve. So they were supposed to grieve hopefully, so that the world would wonder why they were grieving hopefully. So grieving was supposed to be part of their witness to the world, so that the world would ask them where their hope was coming from. So Paul was encouraging them to continue in their faith that works, in their love that labors, and to exhibit a steadfast hope even when facing death. So he said, "Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." So our hope as Christians is based on what we believe about Jesus Christ. Here in this passage that we read tonight, Paul showed the Christians of Thessalonica what the grounds of their hope should be as they face the death of fellow believers. Their hope had to do with what the Lord Jesus Christ had already done in the past, and that which he was going to do, or that which he will do in the future. Paul reminded them that Jesus Christ died for us and rose again. He rose to life again in the past, and that is part of the basis for our hope. And he will return in the future. So our hope is based on what Christ has already done and what he will do in the future. The death, the resurrection, and the return of Jesus Christ are the three important things that make a great difference, not only to the way we live this life, but also to the way we die. Hope in the face of death starts with the recognition that Jesus died and rose again. So we, in Christ, we experience an exaltation over death through Christ's death. That is what verses 13 to 14 are about. Through Christ's death on the cross, we who are in Christ can face death very differently from others. But for those who are outside Christ, death only spells the end of all their hopes. In the world, those who are outside Christ, some people believe that when they die, their souls will cease to exist in what is called annihilation. They believe in annihilation. Others believe that they will be reincarnated. But this only means going through life in this sinful world all over again and again and again. Such belief only increases. It only makes one to be more hopeless. To think that I will live this sinful life in this broken world again and again and again. It continues to make us even more hopeless. In Christ Jesus, though we are still afraid of death, though we are still uncomfortable to think about death, but we know that to die is gain. As Paul said to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul said again in his letter to the Corinthians, he said, I would rather be away from this body and be at home with the Lord. He knew that death is not the end. We know that Jesus resurrected, so we will also rise. Our future hope of being resurrected is not based on mere wishful thinking. It has its basis in an actual historical event that took place in Israel over 2,000 years ago. The resurrection of Christ is one of the best attested facts of history, with consistent eyewitness accounts given throughout the four Gospels in the Bible, though many have tried to disprove the resurrection of Christ, none have succeeded. So the fact remains that Christ resurrected from the dead, and since Christ resurrected, our resurrection is absolutely certain because of our union with Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself made this promise in John 14, verse 19. He said, "Because I live, you shall live also." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a prelude to his return. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the model for the resurrection of believers. Through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, death has now been redefined as falling asleep. Because in Christ, we now know that death is not the end. So our belief in the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope regarding those who sleep in him. When someone sleeps, we know that they are eventually going to wake up. So when Paul referred to death as falling asleep, he was emphasizing the hope that we have. So he passes this knowledge to the church so that they might not sorrow as those who have no hope. To be apart from Jesus Christ is to be without hope. And Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Believers should not have an outlook of those who are apart from Christ. Paul is not saying Christians should not sorrow and grieve at the death of a loved one. He is not saying that. He is saying our sorrow is to be alleviated by the prospect of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. So Paul gave the Thessalonian church a reassuring answer that they would see their beloved who had died in Christ. He said, "You will see them again." He said, "The dead in Christ who return with Christ." The dead who died in Christ, when Christ comes again, they will come with him. How that happens is the mystery. It is the mystery of God's kingdom. If we are not trusting in Christ for forgiveness and eternal life, we have no hope in death. Those who are united to Christ by faith, such belong to Christ. And before he went to the cross, Jesus Christ prayed to the Father in John chapter 17. He said, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." And I was reading the Heidelberg Catechism talking about hope, asking the question, what is our hope in life and death? And the answer is, My hope in life and death is this, that I am not my own, but that I belong in body and soul, in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So, if we are in Christ, if we trust in Jesus Christ, we belong to Him. We are in Him as we live this life. We will continue to be in Him even when we die. So we belong to Him eternally. We belong to Jesus. And one musician in Zimbabwe had to write a song about that, saying, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Him. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Him. To remind, she was reminding herself all the time, and that song helps me to remind myself also that I belong to Jesus. And knowing that will determine how I live here, and it gives me hope, even in death, that whether I live or I die, I belong to Jesus. And right at the beginning of his letter, Paul had reminded the believers that they are in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. If we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, he reminded the Thessalonians that you are in Christ. Each believer is already in Christ, united with Christ. Therefore, since Jesus has been raised and is now alive, it means all those who are in Him have a secure future. So when the resurrected Christ returns, all those who have fallen asleep in Him will be raised to a new life in Him. The Christian hope is not free floating. It's not just some feelings, but it is anchored firmly on solid events that happened in history. It also focuses on true promises to be fulfilled in the future. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is both the model and the means of our resurrection. It is both the pattern and the pathway for our own resurrection as believers and followers of Christ. Paul reveals what will happen when Jesus returns, because our hope is based in the future promises of the return of Christ. So Paul reveals what will happen when Jesus returns. As he looks into the future, his teaching is not just some speculation, but is based on the Lord's teaching. He said, we are telling you this, basing on the Lord's teaching. I think he was referring to Jesus Christ's teaching in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, and many other verses in that chapter. So what Paul is teaching comes with the authority of the word of the Lord. He said, don't lose hope, because the Lord will return, coming down from heaven, and believers will meet him in the air. Believers will meet him in the air, and they will be with him forever. Paul then divides the believers into two groups: those who will be alive at his return, and those who would have died in Christ before he returns. So he said, those who are still living will not precede those already dead. How will that happen, since their bodies are dead and buried? some burned to ashes and may be thrown into the sea, some eaten by beasts. But Paul said, Jesus will command them loudly with the voice of an archangel and a trumpet call. The command will call all the dead in Christ, wherever their bodies are, and the dead in Christ will rise to a new life. This will happen before the effects of Jesus' return are felt by those believers who will still be living on this earth. So the church that is still on the earth should not grieve hopelessly. The dead in Christ are not neglected. They are not forgotten. They are not abandoned or overlooked, but they will be given a special treatment of being transformed, being given new bodies before us, before those who will still be living. Those of us who will still be living will then be caught up after the dead are already raised, so that all the people of God will meet the Lord Jesus Christ and be with him forever. The fulfillment of this glorious message of the good news about Jesus Christ will be seen in the believers being physically united with Christ forever. So that was the message of Paul to this church, to encourage them. And he said, comfort each other with these words. We have a duty to encourage each other with these words. Each time when we are almost giving in to the sorrow that we experience, the sorrow of losing our loved ones, Paul says, encourage each other with these words. So tonight's service is meant to encourage us facing death of the loved ones. We should always think about the word of God. The bottom line is this, with Christ in your life, you have an endless hope. With Christ in our lives, we have an endless hope. But without Christ, we will have a hopeless end. With Christ in us, we have an endless hope. A hope in life and death. So with him, with Christ in our life, we have an endless hope. But without him, we have a hopeless end. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you tonight for Jesus Christ, who is our hope of glory. We thank you for him because he is our hope in life and death. We rejoice in your mercy that turns the darkness of death into the dawn of a new life. You turn the sorrow of parting into the joy of heaven through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died, who rose again, and lives forevermore. We pray that you may continue to comfort us as long as we remain in this broken world, parting with our beloved ones through death, or even facing death, facing our dying ourselves. May you continue to be with us, Holy Spirit, and comfort us through and through every step of the way. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.